We're talking with Ian Livingstone, who is a lifelong board game player, more than 1,000 games in his collection. He's been running a board game group. What exactly is a board game group you've been doing since the mid-80s? What is that?
It's just a group of friends where we get together and we play board games together, and it's a bit of a spoof of a gentleman's club in many ways. We play games, we allocate points for each game played, and at the end of the year we tot up the points, and whoever's got the most points for winning the most games wins the trophy and gets their name engraved on the cup.
Wow.
And it's a bit of fun, but no getting away from the fact that I am a games hobbyist. I've been collecting games for decades now, but I love games from a school kid. I used to play Monopoly. I played chess for the school, and I always wanted to do something in games. And I guess the break came in 1970s when I started a company called Games Workshop with two old school friends, and we got the opportunity to be the exclusive distributors for Dungeons & Dragons in Europe. And Dungeons & Dragons is another milestone in gaming history, and it's still very popular today. But as mankind and womankind have been playing games for many thousands of years, and it's play is natural. It's how we interact with nature in many ways when we enter this world. But we apply rules so we can have winners and losers. So I think games are going to be around for as long as mankind is around.
And games seem to grow with us, even though we have nostalgia maybe for certain games during certain levels of our childhood into adulthood, teens, even to, at a dating protocol at some point. Games enter in, depending on how many players you need and how long it takes for somebody to win the game, I guess.
Well, there's something for everybody now. There's been a huge revival in board games. Even despite the rise of the internet and video games, physical board games have been really booming recently. I think as we have more of an online and digital world, the more we crave some physicality in our world. So there's been a rise in vinyl records, in physical books, and now in board games. And I think that's quite quite comforting in many ways. Right. And of course, in the world of the internet, people can now crowdfund their ideas. An inventor can get their game made through Kickstarter. People can learn how to play games online from various websites. They can see reviews of games. And of course, through e-commerce, no matter where you're living in the world, you can buy your game online. So the internet is facilitating the rise of board games success at the moment, which is good to see.
But it also allows us to get all the missing pieces we have from a classic board game that we still love so well that you can find some from previous generations too.
Yeah, and of course on eBay you can buy games that you had in your youth and relive your youth in some sort of nostalgic enjoyment. But it's just that joy of being with other people, like-minded people, having a laugh and enjoying the strategy and doing deals and breaking those deals. And it's a great social thing to do. Makes a great after-dinner experience. And there's no surprise that there are literally 2,000 or 3,000 new board games released last year, and there's probably going to be as many again this year.
Well, you have lots of them featured in your book. It's called Board Games in 100 Moves. We're talking this morning with Ian Livingstone, who's written this, looking at 8,000 years of play. Can they invent new board games? How can that be? I thought all the good ones have already been invented.
Well, they keep putting out new books and new records. There's no reason why they can't put out new board games. People coming up with interesting mechanics, interesting themes, new ways of playing all the time. And that's actually accelerated over time. In the very old days, like you talk 5,000 years ago, the first game that people know is known is a game called Senet, which is a very simple moving couple of pieces, five pieces along a narrow grid. But it was enjoyed by Tutankhamun, who had four sets in his tomb when it was opened in the 1900s. And then games were simple race games until the 1900s, moving a piece just by the roll of a dice, because dice had now been invented. But that was pretty boring. It was only in the later 1900s where you could actually do things on the squares themselves. that games began to be more interesting and there was more strategy rather than just pure luck.
And a lot of times games there's sort of like a fury of it. Like I remember when Trivial Pursuit came out and we would play those almost into the wee hours of the morning and couldn't wait for another set to come out for new questions like that. What is it that drives
there's milestones in gaming history, you know, with Monopoly, Scrabble, Trivial Pursuit, Dungeons & Dragons. There's something that resonates with everybody and they are markedly different from all the other games people have ever played before. And some games have only been successful by chance in many ways. I mean, Twister, there's a game where the humans are actually the pieces themselves, and that was going to be a failure. Milton Bradley were thinking about discontinuing it until it actually was featured on the Johnny Carson show with Johnny entwined with Eva Gabor on the floor, and that drove everybody who were watching it to rush out to their local stores and buy the game, and it was sold out overnight, and suddenly you're having to make 40,000 copies a week or something to keep up with the new demand. So, but games like Trivial Pursuit, you know, there was a hugely successful game of knowledge, really, with a board to move your pieces around, and always new games come around that suddenly entrance the whole world, and I think you haven't seen the last of them.
The theme of war or battle seems to take place in a lot of games. Is that still a theme, or are we trying not to be so aggressive in our gameplay, in a sense?
Well, there's still lots of war games and strategy games that people like to simulate wars of the past, and see if they would have made a better general than the people at the actual time. And it's recreating events that actually happened on a tabletop. I mean, that's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's certainly still enjoyed by many, many people. There's probably less war games out these days than before because there's been a rise in other genres that have taken over. Games like Ticket to Ride, a U.S. invention by Alan Moon, has sold many millions of copies, and it's you're building railway lines and taking your trains across America, and it's a fantastically interesting strategical game. And because there's so much diversity in games creation now, there's more categories than just sports games or war games, and that's allowed people who would not normally have played games to enjoy them.
Are games played? They are played around the world, but what country seems to be the biggest game players currently? Do you have an idea about that?
I think probably the most fanatical is probably in Germany, is that they have an annual convention in Essen in October. I'll be going to it this next month, where they'll have 200,000 people turn up, and they've launched 1,800 new games. So there are a lot of companies there selling their games, demonstrating games, people playing games. But I think also the biggest market is probably the United States. There's some amazing companies, of course, in the U.S., from traditional games, companies like MB, which became Hasbro, and Mattel, and Celsius, and Risk Richter. And some of the classic games have been designed and invented in the United States. Of course, Monopoly, and Scrabble, and Twister, and Candyland, and Diplomacy. They've all been created in the U.S.
Right.
So not only is it a huge market, it's a great place for designers.
Just one last thing. You mentioned Monopoly when you were younger. What was your favorite token? Which one did you like to use in that game?
Well, I used to have this motorcycle piece. It's actually on the front of the book. That was actually my piece, which I used from a set from the 1950s. And my favorite set to buy was the orange set. I don't know what they are in the U.S., but the orange set's the ones I like the best.
Well, we appreciate your time this morning, sharing a little bit of your love of games. Board Games in 100 Moves is the name of the book. Our guest this morning, Ian Livingstone, we appreciate your time this morning, and play on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Game on. Thank you.